Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
When God decides that he is going to purify our lives, then he applies heat. It can be circumstances that he allows, but all of a sudden you feel pressure, you feel the heat, and you go, why is God trying to ruin me, destroy me? He is not trying to destroy your life when he hits you with heat. He is trying to purify your life.
You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. We're so grateful you've tuned into the program. Richard wants to share with you some encouragement, words of hope, and probably a laugh or two. And in today's complicated, busy life, that's exactly what's needed. Richard's talks are always straight from the Bible, filled with truth. Now, you may not be able to hang out with us for the entire program, but you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellis.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellis.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is 14 Karat Gold. 14 karat gold. It is the karat phrase, spelled C-A-R-A-T, but in the United States, K-A-R-A-T for gold, is the common abbreviation for jewelry manufactured. If you wondered what this was, maybe you haven't. It's 14 parts gold and 10 parts alloy. So if you have 24 karat gold, it's 100% gold. But if you got 14, it's 14 parts, 10 parts. If you got 18 karat gold, it's 18. You can do the math and see where you end up. Turn to Job chapter 23, and let's look at this process. You'd have to read the whole book to get the whole context, but Job has got three buddies, and he's talking to God. He's answering them. They're accusing him of things. But verse 1 says, "Then Job answered and said, 'Even today my complaint is bitter. My hand is listless because of my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat. I would present my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Would he contend with me in his great power? No, but he would take note of me.'" He's saying here how if I could just get to God, you ever feel this way? If you could just get to his seat, just get to where he is. "There the upright could reason with him, and I would be delivered forever from my judge. Look, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. When he works on the left hand, I cannot behold him. When he turns to the right hand, I cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold." And this word here he uses for tested, it means with metals, literally to test the metals, to determine or to refine them, get them to the place where they are gold. Now let me kind of make a statement before we read through this and some other passages. There is no refinement, there is no purification without heat. It is not going to happen. And I'm going to read you a bunch of verses out of the Bible, and the context is God's people out there doing their own thing, and God applies heat. And you say, well, I want to live a pure life. You may not be saying that at all. Maybe by the way we're living, it's clear that we don't want to live a pure life. You say, I kind of like being a 14 karat gold Christian. I don't have to be 100%. I don't need to be 24 karat gold. It's a little bit of him and a little bit of me, and I'm okay with that. The ring still looks good. Doesn't have to be 18 karat. 14's fine. Maybe you're a 10 karat person. But 14 is about where Americans land, and a lot of churches land there. Some gold, not 100% gold. If that is going to change, the only way it is going to change is for heat to be applied. Now, if you look at gold and you look at the process of refining gold, you've got to get to up in the 1900 something Fahrenheit to begin to melt metal. That is very, very, very hot. You say, well, but I got a little pressure in my life. It's going to escalate. When God decides that he is going to purify our lives, then he applies heat. And you say, well, what kind of heat? It can be the consequences of our own choices. It can be circumstances that he allows, but all of a sudden you feel pressure, you feel the heat, and you go, why is God trying to ruin me, destroy me? He is not trying to destroy your life when he hits you with heat. He is trying to purify your life. Keep reading. Let's go to Psalm 66. Take it a few pages to the right. Psalm 66, and let's jump in at verse 10. The psalmist here says, "For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. There is a reason for it. Hopefully, unless you're just a mean parent, an evil, angry parent, you don't just whoop your kids to whoop them. There are a lot of kids that get, you know, beatings and get spanked and things when their parents are drunk or out of control on drugs or something. A wise parent, a loving parent, applies discipline when they're trying to teach a child something. So at some point when the heat comes, you have got to say somewhere in the process, God is not just jacking with me. This is not fun for him. This is not enjoyable necessarily to him. He realizes my frame. He realizes that I'm but dust. And so he's trying to help me. He is applying heat, but there's a purpose in the end of this. And in this case, he says, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. And again, these terms of refining, of goldsmith, melting pure gold. And by the way, the Bible is filled with these foundry examples. If you go look at the Old Testament, at the temple, things made of solid gold, things made of overlaid in gold. Gold is all through the scripture. So when you see that image of the temple and then you transfer it and say, then God sees us the same way, that he wants us to be pure gold, that he's trying to refine us, you see where he's coming from. Go to Proverbs 17:3, another passage about this. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 3. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts. Now this word in Hebrew here means literally to test, and it's used in a metal sense, testing metal. Let me give you a definition of what an acid test is. In a qualitative chemical or metallurgical assay, which uses acid most commonly and historically, the use of a strong acid to distinguish gold from base metals. Figuratively, acid test is any definitive test for some attribute, example, of a person's character or of the performance of some product. An acid test, you say, okay, is this guy for real? Is he gonna follow through? Is he gonna come through in the end? In chemistry, the traditional acid test for gold, listen to this, consists of placing a small drop of strong acid, such as nitric acid, onto the metal's surface, a tiny drop. Most metals fizz or bubble, whilst precious metals are unaffected. The acid test is thus decisive, immediate, and fairly simple. So God comes along, life comes along, and just a drop of acid. And either you bubble or fizz, or nothing happens. What happens to you? Do you disintegrate under the pressure? And too many times we get hit with the acid test in our character, in our lives, in our daily choices, and we just dissolve amidst the pressure. There has to be some point in time where when you get hit with an acid test, when you get challenged, when the heat is applied, that you hold, that you go, God, I am not going down anymore. I am gonna stick by my guns. I'm gonna be the real deal. I will pass the acid test. Go to Isaiah chapter 1, and let's start in verse 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider. Jump down to verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. How the faithful city has become a harlot. It was full of justice, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross, your wine mixed with water. Your princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loves bribes and follows after rewards. They do not defend the fatherless, nor does the cause of the widow come before them. Therefore the Lord says, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, ah, I will rid myself of my adversaries and take vengeance on my enemies. I will turn my hand against you and thoroughly purge away your dross and take away all your alloy. I am going to hit you with fire. I am going to purify you. Enough is enough. I'm going to separate the dross, the alloys from the metal, the precious metal. Now, before we go any farther with this, this may or may not be a good thing. God finishes what he starts. If you are a Christian, you are involved in this process, whether you know it or not, or even like it or not, because he finishes what he starts. So if there's ever been a point in your life where you said, okay, God, I believe that you are, that you're a rewarder of those that diligently seek you. I believe that Jesus came, died on a cross, was buried, raised from the dead, and I need eternal life. I receive this abundant life. You get it all as a gift. He comes to live in you. The second that happens, this process unfolds. Now, he doesn't apply more heat than you can take. And if you watch, if you go on YouTube or somewhere and watch, you can get this anywhere. I watched one of them where they were refining gold. They put heat to the metal. They pour off some of the dross. They put heat to the metal. They pour it off. So you're in a process. God didn't say it's all at once, bam, right now or never, it's going to happen. It is a process. And in the process, they even put the metal in cold water, let it cool down. Then they hit it again. So God knows what you can take. And the combination of what he is allowing to happen to you and me to refine us and the messes we get ourselves in that are bringing that heat on us of our own choosing, in that process, and it is a process, it's going to take time, but he is going to keep at it. And you say, I don't want God messing with me anymore. I don't want to be 18 karat. I don't want to be 24 karat. I'm content where I am. He's not going to let up. He is going to finish what he starts. So the sooner that you yield, the sooner that I yield and say, yes, Lord, Lord, you're the boss. I am not the boss of myself. Keep reading. Isaiah 48, and let's jump in at verse 9. I'm not claiming to know me, but there's really not anybody else except for God that knows me the way that I know me. My wife does not really know me. And see, just knowing what I know about me and what I'm capable of and where I can end up by myself, I'd have torched me a long time ago. I'd have fried my backside a long time ago, said enough already. You are not getting hit with more heat than you're getting hit with because God is merciful and he is patient and he is kind. And he is long-suffering. See, as it turns out, he is all the things that he's trying to turn us into. And so he says, they can't take more than this. So I'm going to back off a minute. I'm going to hit it again, but I'm going to give him a little break. So you might even get to rest in your sin. Crazy thought. You say, well, why would God give me a break? Because it is his kindness. It is his gentleness that leads us to repentance. Ultimately, it is not threatening us with crushing us. He comes alongside and says, okay, you've been trying it your way for this time. Are we done? Are we done? Would you like to do it my way and go this way? No, sir. I'm going to keep doing my way. Okay, here we go again. Heat. Boom. He hits you again. And sooner or later, the lines intersect. And for me, the pleasure lines intersect with the pain lines. And I go, time out. Uncle. I yield. I don't want my way anymore, God. I wanted my way, but my way ain't working out too good. Time out. Let's do it your way. Now read Isaiah 48 with me, verse 9. Look at this phrase, what God says here. For my name's sake, I will defer my anger. A lot of what God does and doesn't do is tied to him. It's his name that's at stake. And so he calculates and he is God and he goes, okay, wiping him out's not going to do us any good. In some cases, people, bam, they're gone. But do you ever wonder how you're getting away with what you're getting away with? You ever wonder this? Like if God really knows me, why is he being so patient with me? He should have smacked me down a long time ago. For my name's sake, I will defer my anger, and for my praise, I will restrain it from you. So that I do not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake and for my own sake, I will do it. For how should my name be profaned? And I will not give my glory to another. So sometimes he holds back. I think most of the time he holds back. In the Old Testament, there are situations, especially in the Old Testament, some in the New. Kings in the Old Testament would not give glory to God. And bam, he'd kill them on the spot. You are messing with a holy, holy, holy God.
And one day that'll dawn on you. Now, you can still go deliberately sin, but there needs to be some awe, some woe, some something where you go, you know what? This is not some game. This is not just me doing what I want to do. I'm coming up against a holy God who wants the best for me, better than I've ever wanted for me. Ananias, when the church was born, they lied to the Holy Spirit and physically dropped dead on the spot. The husband, the wife, boom, they dropped dead. And you say, well, why doesn't that happen anymore? Thank God it doesn't very much. But you need to be aware that when he refines and when the church was born, it was 24 karat gold. We've allowed too many alloys to mix with it. And so it has been just kind of watered down, mixed up with the world. But the more you are purified, the less he is going to allow for in your life. The margins will come in. And where one person, you say, well, that guy gets away. You know what? What's it to you? What about you? Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 5. And it's very interesting when you see the context, all these passages where it talks about refining, there's usually iniquity, sin of some kind. Jeremiah 9, 5, everyone will deceive his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves to commit iniquity. Your dwelling place is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit, they refuse to know me, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will refine them and try them. For how shall I deal with the daughter of my people? Again, goes back at him. Go to Zechariah chapter 13. And if you go back and read this, these are very intense passages, very intense times between God and his people. And you see, again, if he was so upset with them, he'd have wiped them out. He was upset, but he gives them mercy. Zechariah 13:7, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Then I will turn my hand against the little ones. And it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that 2/3 in it shall be cut off and die, but 1/3 shall be left in it. I will bring the 1/3 through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people. And each one will say, the Lord is my God. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3 verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and the launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness, that they will be purified enough that they can come and offer him the way they are intended to offer him. Tolstoy, the Russian philosopher writer, said this, truth, like gold, is to be obtained not by its growth, but by washing away from it all that is not gold. There's a story that's told about Michelangelo when he did the statue of David, that he found this piece of marble, Carrara marble, that had already been worked on a little bit. Some guy had started, hadn't finished, and Michelangelo was recommissioned to go at this piece of marble and get David. And someone supposedly asked him, how did you do it? And he said, I just removed everything that wasn't David. He saw David trapped in that piece of marble and he began to remove everything that wasn't David. Let me tell you something. If you're a Christian, you got Jesus in there. And the Holy Spirit's job is to apply heat and a process that removes everything that is not Jesus. And that process will not stop until you're looking at him. He is going to come after you in the best of ways because he cares, because he loves you, and for his name's sake, because it's for his glory, it's about him, it's not just about you. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's jump in at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, who having not seen you, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. For a little while, grieved by various trials. Why? That the genuineness of your faith, much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial. And these are all referring to the process of refining metals. This fiery trial, that's what they're talking about. Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. The point is to get you out of the way so his glory can be revealed. So when someone sees you, they see him. The more purified you are, the more appealing you are to the world. The people that are searching, at least, they say there's something in there. And the less of you there is to see through to get to him, then the quicker they see him. And when they see him, they are drawn to him. They either want to kill him or they're drawn to him. But if you follow Jesus around in the New Testament, hurting, lost people were drawn to Jesus. It should be the same thing with us. But if you're running about 14 carats and another 10 carats of you out there, of metal, they can't see through, then that becomes a problem. You say, Lord, why are people not drawn to me? Because you are in me. Why do they not want what I have? Maybe because they can't see what you have so much because there's still so much of you left.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. We get it and want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. Give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellis.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall so others can pray for you as well. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellis.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, let's jump in at verse 21. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. That is what he is after. He will present you holy. And if you read Ephesians chapter 1, you have already been declared holy. Same chapter, blameless, adopted, chosen, complete. To present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. Something he's about to say has been hidden for generations. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among you, among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. You got Christ in you, then you have hope of some glory. But whatever glory you receive, it is all his glory, because it's all about him. Someone said, pure gold is not afraid of the refiner's fire. You might feel 14 karat old, but remember, you are 24 karat gold. You have pure gold inside of you if you are Christ. The heat is to purge away, to burn away what is not him, so that what is left is blameless, is holy, is without reproach, so that you can be presented to him in that way.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. We all have busy schedules these days, so it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Richard would love to know how today's talk has touched your heart, so give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD, 855-6-RICHARD. You can also share your story with us at our website, richardellis.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program that is always expanding to reach the world with the good news of the gospel, but it also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program like ours means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. We believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by calling 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellis.com. Thank you for your generosity. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.